Today's shir is Masechet Matzia Daf Tzadik Ches. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis at the Gemara right after the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Shema Mina, from the first halacha that we learned in our Mishnah, says the Gemara, we can extrapolate the following halacha. If mana li biyotcha, somebody comes and says, you owe me a mana, v'lo ama any yedeya, and the other person says, any, I don't know, chayiv. The halacha is that you chayiv, because we apply the concept of bari v'shema, bari adav. Ask the Gemara, lema tehuv teyufta, the Rav Nachman. In our mission as well, we learned if somebody has, we have a dispute between the person who lent something and the person who borrowed, and the person who lent says, I'm certain, and the person who said, who borrowed is not certain, or vice versa. We learned in the Mishnah, the person who's able to make a definite claim is the one that prevails in that entire. So here too, it seems that it's very clear that that's the halacha, and the basis is bari v'shem bari adav, on which the Gemara asked, Itmar, we've learned this exact case, manali biyotchu, somebody says, you owe me a certain amount of money, v'lo am any day, and the other one says, I'm not sure, v'huna Rabbi Yehuda am chayiv, because of the concept of bari v'shem bari adav, Rabbi Nachman, Amri Potter, we don't say bari v'shem bari adav. And the reason we do not is because the person who's holding on to whatever he's holding on to has a chazaka. And the halacha tells us that we should always follow the chazaka. So how will Rabbi Yehuda be able to answer? How will Rav Nachman be able to answer the proof from our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Kedama Rav Nachman, as Rav Nachman explained elsewhere, Kegon Sheyesh Esek Shvu Beinayim. Our Mishnah that says that the person has to be able to defend himself with a shvua, and if he can't defend himself, if he's unable to make the shvua, then he has to pay. That's the basis for that's where Rav Nachman agrees. Hachnami, and he's going to explain that is the case of our Mishnah. The case of our Mishnah is Kegon Sheyesh Esek Shvu Beinayim, where there's a machlokes between the two of them, and the person has to be able to defend himself with a shvua, and if he can't defend himself with a shvua, then he's going to have to pay. And the source for this halacha is because the pasuk says, when the Torah requires a shvua, shvuas Hashem tiyah ben shneihem, and Chazal explained, Masechet Shvuos daf mem zayin amud aleph, ben shneihem b'lay ben hayorshim. That in the case where there is a shvua required, then a yorish doesn't have to make a shvua. Without that special exemption, if you can't swear, then you're going to have to pay. And that's going to be the reasoning of our Mishnah. We're speaking about a case, as the Gemara is just going to describe in a moment, where a shvua was required, and the person is unable to make the shvua, that's where he pays. Says the Gemara, Hechidah me'esu shvua. What was meant when we said that there is a situation of a shvua that is the case of our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Kedarava, like Rava taught us. Dama Rava, mana li biyotcha. If somebody approaches somebody else and says, "You owe me money," v'hava ama ein lecha biyadi el chamishim, and he admits to owing 50. The halach is, and he says, "V'shar eni yedeya," and I don't know. So he's a moed of a mixus. So he says, the claim is that I owe $100. I say that I know, I owe 50, but I don't know if I owe any more. So he's chayiv in a shvua, because this is the example that we've learned of a moed b'miksas, partial admission. In the case of partial admission, as the Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, that there's a moed b'miksas, you have to swear. And because he's saying, I don't really know what is the status of the remaining 50, because he can't swear, the halacha is mishalim, that he has to pay. So what we're learning here now is that even though Rav Nachman and Yehuda don't agree to the concept of bari v'shem bari adav, But here is a new concept to be taken into consideration. And that is the concept, B'tarch Sheni Yochel L'Shava Eina Mishalim. The Mishnah Masechta Shavuos, Daf Mem Dal Raman Aleph, teaches us that if somebody has to take a Shavua, but he is a Choshed, he's been a proven liar or thief, and he's an individual who's suspect of swearing falsely, then we turn around the obligation. And instead of requiring the person who's saying that he doesn't owe the money to swear, we make that the person who says, you owe me the money, he should swear. Ask Taisus, if somebody is mechuyev to make a shvua, and he's unable to make the shvua, because as we just described, because he's a chashid, so he should be automatically to pay, obligated to pay, because of the concept that we just learned in the Gemara, of mitarich sheni yochel l'shava, that whenever you can swear, mishalim, wherever you can't swear, you have to pay. So Taisus answers that the rule of mitarich applies only when the person can't swear because he's not sure, like we just explained, he doesn't know what is the situation. But in the case of choshed, that's not where the rule of mitarich sheni yochel l'shava mishalim has said. Another teretz that Taisus here says, that teretz that I just said, Taisus says at the beginning of Am Sechta, and Daf Hei Amen Aleph. Taisus over here says that the rule of mitarich actually applies even in the case of a choshed. But Taisus says, if that's going to be the case, any individual who is a choshed, people will be able to make claims against him. In other words, whenever somebody will say that a choshed owes me money, then the person and the choshed will have to defend himself with a shvua, and the halacha will say, well, he can't make a shvua because there's a choshed. So therefore, Chazal said that one cannot take money. One can't take money from a choshed without swearing yourself, and we don't apply the concept, therefore, a mitarich sheni yochel l'shava mishalim. The Rambam writes that the Gaonim instituted a halacha of mitarich even in a case where he's not a choshed. The Gaonim were concerned that people may take advantage of the halacha mitarich and by inflating any claims that they have, and then the person who's an honest person will not be able to swear definitively that those claims are true and are really not true. And then the other party will say, well, mitarich sheni yochel l'shava mishalim. So says the Rambam, in order to prevent this from happening, the Goyim always say that if I can't swear, the other person, if he's saying something untrue, will be in chayrim. And that will prevent people from making claims which are totally which are totally not true. So, ask the Gemara, Mishkachsla, so now that we've established that according to Rav Nachman, the explanation of our Mishnah is based on the principle of Mitarich Sheni Yochel L'Shalim, so explains the Gemara, the Reisha, the first case of the Mishnah will be speaking about Shtayim, where there were two animals in question, and the Sefer, the third case of the Mishnah, the first two cases of the Mishnah will be speaking when there are two animals under discussion. Save for the last case of the Mishnah will be speaking when there were three. So the many Rishonim ask, the Mishnah says explicitly, Hashoyel HaSapara, that we're only speaking about one cow. How can we say it's speaking about two cows or three cows? So the Rashba answers, because even though, as we're about to explain, the Mishnah is speaking about two cows or three cows, but that doesn't change how many cows there's a dispute over. And therefore, since that we're only focusing on the amount of cows that there is a dispute on, that's why, that since we're only focused on the cows that there's a dispute on, that's why there's only one cow dispute over. So that's why the Mishnah could use the word Hashoyel HaSapara. Says the Gemara, so now the Gemara explains how we understand this. Reish b'shtayim, domalei, the person who lent the cows, says to the person who borrowed them, "Shtei paros masatilach, I gave you two cows. Palga the yom b'sheila, for half a day they were loaned, or palga the yom b'schirin, for half a day they were rented. Inami, or chad yom b'sheila, one day they were given to you as a loan, for chad yom b'schirin, so one day it was given to you as a rental. Umeis tavayu bein shaila." And he says both cows died during the time of Shaila. And since they both died at the time of Shaila, and as we keep on learning in our Shurim, a Shoyl is Chayiv for Einzin, you will be now responsible. Omle Shoyl, and the Shoyl response, Chada, in Be'idin Shaila Mesa. Yes, one of the cows clearly died at the time when it was in the status of Shaila, and I owe you for that cow. Vidach, the other cow, Lo Yadana, I just don't know, Ibe'idin Shaila Mesa, if it died during the time of Shaila, or be in Tzchiris Mesa. And therefore, Halacha will be Metoich Sheni Yoch L'Shava, because he can't swear Mishalim. So Rashi says, why does the Gemara have to come up with such a complicated case with two animals? Why don't we just say there was one animal, and the person is not able to say no if it died during the time of Shaila or Tzchiris? And even if the second animal is still alive and he's agreeable that he has to pay back, so it's Chayiv Shvua. So Rashi answers that whenever we speak about a Shvua or Moedim Amitzus, we spoke about at the beginning of a Masechta on Daf Dalet, the concept of Halach. And the concept of Halach teaches us that if I'm a Moedim Amitzus, and not only am I Moedim Amitzus, but I say the part that I owe you, here, take, I'm giving it to you. There we don't say that he has to swear. If the way Rashi described would be the case of the Mishnah, that would be a case of Halach. And if it were a case of Halach, there would be no room for discussion that for the Shvua. That's why we had to come up with this type of a case. The Sefer, and now it continues the Gemara, how will we understand the case of the Sefer? The Sefer will be speaking about there were three cows. The owner of the cows says to the person to whom he gave the cows, I loaned you two and I rented one. My sahani tied to the shayla, and two animals that of shayla died and you owe me for them, the oinus, because you're a shoyl. Vamalei shoyl, in chada the shayla, I'm certainly mesa, and for that animal I am certainly responsible. Idach, the other animal that died, Lo Yadana, I don't know which animal that was. Was it the Shela animal? Was it the Shela Mesa? Or was it the Kaima and the surviving animal, the Schiris? The Schiris, was it the animal that was rented to me, which died? For her, the Kaima, and the one that is here is the Shela animal. And therefore, since it was an Oinus, I don't owe you for that animal. And here again, since he's a Moida B'mixis, that's why the halacha will be that he has to b'toich sheni yochel shava, because he can't swear. That's why Mishela. So here, too, the Rishonim ask, why do we have to have such an elaborate case of three animals? Why can't we just say there were two animals? And he'll say that on one animal, he says, I admit that I have to pay, whether it's a shula or schura. And the other one, I don't know. So the Ritva explains that the fact that the Mishnah, at the beginning of the Mishnah, spoke about we're only speaking about one animal and the animal that's in question, and we're not speaking about any other of the animals. So it means in the Sefer, where there are more animals mentioned, we're only speaking about the animals that are in question. So there has to be, a third animal to create a Moed of a Mixus. Other Rishonim say otherwise. We would have, as I said a moment ago, a situation of Halach. When we learned Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, we learned the opinion of Chiba Yosef. Chiba Yosef explains that in order for it to be considered a situation of Moedim Amitzis, you have to have a number of conditions. In order to be considered Moedim Amitzis, you have to have that he agrees, he admits, and I'm not sure, says the Gemara. The Rav Bachama, According to Rambam B'chama, the Abba Arba Shomrim, that when we speak about a Shomrim, to be chayiv for Moed B'mixus, you have to have Tzfirich, a Kfir B'mixus, a partial a disagreement, Haidah B'mixus, and you also have to have a part that he agrees. So to make the Marab, to make the Mishnah understandable, according to Rambam B'chama, Mishkach's law, you're going to have to be understand that the Mishnah speaking here with the ratio with Sholosh Paras, that there were three animals, and the Sefer were Arba. Mar explains itself. Ratio B'Sholosh, the first case of the Mishnah will say it's talking about three animals. The Amalei, the Masha to the Shoyal, Sholosh Paras to Satiloch. I gave you three cows. Palg the Yom B'Shela, for half the day they were yours as a Shela. Or Palg the Yom B'Shiris, and half of the day they were given to you as a schiris. Inami, or chad yomim, for one whole day, all three of these animals were shela. The chad yomim, and one day, all three of these animals were schiris. And now he completes his claim by saying, shmosu sholosh, that all three animals died be'edin shela. At the time, it was shela. The bamle shayl, and the shayl responds, on one cow, I'm completely disagreeing. You say you gave me three cows. It isn't true. You only gave me two cows. So that's the kfira part. That's the denial part. And the other one, he says that, yes, it died during the shela time. That's the haidah. And the third is lo yadana, where I don't know if be eden shela mesa, if it died during the Shela period, and therefore I have to pay for the Einzim, even in the Schirs Mesa, and I don't have to pay. And here, since he doesn't know, he's mechuyev to make a Shvuah, because as Rambam B'chama says, that is the case of a Moed B'mixus, and a Moed B'mixus has to make a Shvuah, and once he has to make a Shvuah, the Torah Shein Chiyol Shava, that's why the Mishnah says Mishalim. The second, say for the third case of the Mishnah, Rami B'chama will say, speaking about Arba, there were four cows. Domalei, the Mashal says to the Shoyal, Arba Paras Nusati L'cha, I handed to you four animals, Sholosh B'Shelosh, Shela, three were given to you as a Shela, as a lending, the Chada B'Shiris, and one was given to you as Shiris, U'Mesa Hanach Sholosh B'Shelosh, and all the three animals that died were all Shela animals. Vamala, to which the Shoyal responds, Chada L'Yad Varma Elam, there was no four animals, there were only three animals. The Chada in the Shela Mesa, and so that's the Kfira. Then there's the Haidah, where he says one of the animals that died indeed died during a Shela time. Vidach, and the other animals, Lo Yadanet B'Schiris Mesa, the Kaim of the Shela, are they Schiris animals that died, and the ones that are still alive are the Shela animal, I'll give it back. Or the Shela Mesa, the Kaim of Schiris, and here too, since he's being honest and saying that I don't know really what happened, says the Gemara, the Tach Sheni Yochel Shava, Talachu B'Mishalim. The Mishnah said, Zeh Mishula, this one says it was a Shiela, Zeh Mishura, Shava Soichesh Shura Mesa. The person who rented it should say that the animal that died was the Shura. So again, we're speaking about two animals. And he's saying it's the claimant is saying it's the Shula one that died, and therefore you should be responsible. And the other person says it was the Shura one that died. But ask the Gemara, there's a new point in these types of claims. You only have to address what was claimed against you. Says the Gemara, Vamai, why would he have to even swear? Masha Tanaloi Haidaloi, or Masha Haidaloi Loitanoi. He's saying a claim to me on the Shula animal. And I'm responding about the Schiris animal. So it's like the Gemara says, often the wording of the Gemara is Tana B'Soyrim V'Hoydalai B'Chitim. If the claim and the counterclaim are about different things, then all the halachas of Shvua don't apply. It says the Gemara, Amu Ulai De Gilgal, that there's a concept in the Torah of Gilgal Shvuah. We know that the Torah says that a woman who was accused of adultery under the proper circumstances, has to make a shvua. And the pasuk says, "Vamra isha amen amen." That's how she expresses her shvua. And the Gemara Masech Tosafot Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph teaches us, what do we learn from the fact that the woman had, that the pasuk says, "Vamra isha amen amen" twice? We learn that she has to swear, as we just said. And once she sweared on what the Torah obligates her to swear, there was kinu v'stira to this claim against her. So she swears any other claims, which maybe midaraisa, she would not normally have to swear. That's called Gilgal Shvua. And says the Gemara, that's what happened here also. Dumbly, the owner says to the Shailen, Ishtabali is Emeis. At least you have to swear to me the Kedarka Meis. Because even if you say that the animal that died was a schura, you have to be able to swear that it just died with an oinus, not that you did something, not that you created a situation that it died because of that situation, which is a shvua anybody could ever make a shomer have to swear. And now says the Gemara, Omega the Shtabi the Garka Mesa, so now that he's obligated to make that shvua, so Mishtabi Namah the Schura Mesa, we also make a shvua that it was a schura when it died, and that's the case of the Mishnah, why even though it was Tanachitim, Said Lebesirim, one's talking about a Shela animal, one's talking about a schura animal, but there's still a Chiyav Shvua because of the Gilgal Shvua concept. We learned further in the Mishnah, Zaymeni Dei V'Zaymeni Dei. Both of these people, as we explained, are honest people. And they're both saying, we really don't know what happened here. Zaymeni Dei V'Zaymeni Dei. They both say, we don't really know what happened. So the Mishnah said, Yechloiku. So suggest the Gemara, Hamani, who is the Tan of our Mishnah, it seems, Sumchasi. Damar, Sumchas opinion throughout Shas is, the Mamana Mutaba Safa Cholkim. The Gemara Masechta Bekama, Daf Mem Vav Amin Aleph teaches us, regarding a situation where somebody, where an animal, where a shor shenaga chasapara, and there's a baby next to the side. And the question is, the baby is found dead. And we don't know what is the status. Was the cow that got injured carrying the baby at the time of the injury? And the animal and the baby that died because of the injury, and therefore the mazik has to pay for both. Or was it that that's not what happened? What happened was that the animal was born before the accident, and given that the animal was born before the accident, it didn't die because of that accident. So since this is a situation that we don't know what to do, how to assess the damage that happened to this baby, so Sumcha says, it's Maman HaMutab HaSafik, and Maman HaMutab HaSafik Cholkin. The Rabbanan disagree, because the Rabbanan always apply the concept Mamaitzim Chaveri Olav Araya. You want me to have to pay you? You have to be able to make a definitive claim that I owe you, what you say I owe you. And if you cannot make that claim, I don't have to pay. So it says the Gemara, our Mishnah seems to be following the opinion of Sumchis, the Maman HaMutab HaSafik Cholkin. The Mishnah, at the beginning of our Perek, spoke about the Halacha of Balav Imoy. And we learned, as the Torah tells us in Parshas Mishpatim, in Balav Imoy Lo Yishalim. So, by Rav Amar ben Mamal, Sheila b'Balam, what was the case where the Sheila took place when it was Balav Imoy? The Schachra, but the Shleib b'Balam, it was rented without Balav Imoy, Mahu. And the Gemara explains, Miyam Rinan, Sheila l'chud d'kaima, the Schurus l'chad d'kaima, that these are two separate relationships, and therefore, that if there was first a Sheila and there was a Schiris, even though it was Baal of Imai on the original Sheila, it has no relevance to the subsequent Schiris. It's considered one long transaction. Because nothing really new happened. A shoyl is chayv in Gneva Aveda, and a seicher is chayiv b'gneiva aveda, and therefore it's considered just one long relationship. And if it started off as bal of imay, it continues as a relationship of bal of imay. Next question: in tem tzolayma schayer b'shel meshes seicher, they're connected. Why would it halacha if it was the reverse? Sochem b'balim. First there was a schiris with bal of imay, and then v'shalosh shloim b'balim. And afterwards there was a shela without bal of imay. Mahu? Do we say shela b'schiris v'adi l'sheicher? Seicher is potter from Mainzim. So the original relationship did not carry with it a obligation for Einzim. Now that there is an obligation for Einzim, it's clearly a new relationship. And even though the first relationship had Baal of Imay, that has nothing to do with the second relationship. There is still some connection. The Chiv Gneva Aveda was there from the beginning, and it just continues. That's enough to make it be considered command the Shaykh Bekula Dami, and it's one long relationship. And since it started off as Baal of Imay, that remains the case. Third question. Imtem Tzolayma. If you'll say, Loyaminen, Kivin the Shaykh Bemixis, since there's some relationship, it's considered a full fledged continuation. Kivin the Shaykh Bemixis, command the Shaykh Bekula Dami, Shayla Bebalim, if there was first a shela with Baal of Imay, and then there was a sochra shloi b'balim, and then a shalo, and then they again had a shela mahu. Do we say that the shela that happens now is really just going back to what happened originally? Had the asla shela l'dukta, it's just going back to what we had originally. Idoma of sikla scheres b'ne b'ne, the first shela, the first act of shela, and the second act of Shayla have no connection to each other. And even though the first act of Shayla that Allah had Baal of Imay, that has no bearing on the second act of Shayla, since it was interrupted with the Schiris in between. Fourth question. Socher b'balim. We had Schiris, and then Shayla with Baal of Imay, then Shayla with Ab Baal of Imay. The Chazer is Sochra, and then it was Sochra again. Mahu. Mimrin Asle Schiris l'duchta. And the Gemara says all these questions remain with a teku. But the Rosh quotes the Goinim that say that wherever we have whenever we have in Shas a question, a series of questions, and the Gemara says Imtim Tzolaymer, what the Gemara means to say is that that Tim Tzolaymer means that the question is really answered as the Imtim Tzolaymer suggests. If that will be the case, says the Rosh, even though the Gemara just posed four questions, but for the first three questions we had an Imtim Tzolaymer, and that will be the Psak, and only the Teku will be on the fourth question. Says the Mishnah, Shoyel is a part of somebody borrows a cow. Shol Chaloi, and the person who's lending the cow, sent the cow, B'yad B'noi, B'yad Avdi, B'yad Shluchai, with his son, with his Eved, or with shliach to the person who's borrowing it, or through the family members of the shoyel or mesa, and the animal dies as it's being transported, potter. Till the person actually receives it, the halach is that it's not considered under his responsibility, and therefore, even though a shoyel is chayiv for einzin, he isn't yet a shoyel. However, if Amalei a shoyel, if the person who's borrowing it said to the person who's lending it, Shalchli b'yad b'ni b'yad avdi b'yad shluchi, he gave him instructions to please send it to me through my family members, or b'yad b'ncha b'yad avdecha b'yad shluchecha, oy, shamalei a mashal, areni mashaltecha, the mashal clearly told the shoyel, this is what I'm doing. Hareni mshalcha biyad b'ni biyad avdi biyad shluchi, or biyad b'dcha biyad avdcha biyad shlucha, v'amal ha'shoyel shalach. So all of these created a situation that the she'ela has begun, and since they created a situation that the she'ela has begun, if Mesa, if the animal dies, he will be responsible. And as the Ravid explains, you can't make a person responsible unless he takes the responsibility. Even though, explains the Ravid, I wanted to borrow this. So why don't we say Zochel Adam Shloi Befonov? So explains the Ravid, you can never say Zochel Adam Shloi Befonov unless it's a pure schus. And becoming a shoyl, even though becoming a shoyl is truly a benefit, as we often explain in the shurim by shoyl, kol anosh lo, I get all the benefit, I don't have to pay for it, but it comes, as we learn, with a lot of responsibility. So since it comes with a lot of responsibility, it's not a case of pure schus. And when it's not a case of pure schus, we can't say the halacha of Zochel Adam Shloi Befonov, and therefore he is going to be, he's not a shoyl, unless, as the Mishnah continued teaching us, that he wants to become, unless it's, we learned, he wants to become a shoyl. Why is the word shlach, that the shoyl said, send it, going to be enough to make him into a shoyl? Because the Ravid explains that by using this word, even though, as the Ravid just said, the person is nearly really not getting a full benefit, saying shlach means that I want to take ownership. Another way of explaining is when the shoyl says shlach, he's appointing these individuals, no matter who they are, to become his shliach. Once it's his shliach, it's an extension. It's an extension of him. The Nuki Yosef has a different approach. His approach is that he becomes an Orev. By appointing these people to bring the animal to him, he becomes a guarantor that if anything were to happen to the animal, he will be held responsible. The Cain, Bishar Shemachzira, the halachas that we learned when the Shoyl is returning it to the Mashal. If the Shoyl just sent it to the Mashal, it remains the responsibility of the Shoyl until he gets to the Mashal's possession. If the Mashal, however, agreed or appointed a Shliach to bring it back, then the halacha is that he doesn't, then the halacha is that he becomes, that he's, it's considered his already from the moment it comes into the hands of the Shliach, and the Shoyl will not be held responsible. But to review, a Gemara that we learned earlier in Amasechta, on Daf Pei Amud Beis, where the Gemara said that this entire discussion is only in a case where the shoyl returned the animal while it was still in the term, before the term of the shayla was over. But once the term of the shayla is over, then he's not a shoyl no matter what. And the Gemara actually had a question: when he's not a shoyl anymore, what does he become? And the Gemara says he's not a shoyl, but he becomes a shoyl mesacher. The explanation is, because as we keep on learning, a shoyl has a very high level of responsibility. Why does he have this high level of responsibility? Because kol anosh loy, he's getting all the benefit. But once the term of the shoyl is over, he doesn't have all of this benefit. Since he doesn't have all of his benefit, so then he's not a shoyl anymore. The Gemara says he's a shoyl mesacher, but we can't call him a shoyl anymore. The Beis Yosef, quote in Chashim Mispat Simen Shin Mem, quotes the Rashba that if somebody is asked, the wife of the shoyl gives the object to the wife of the mashal, that still doesn't make that it came back to the mashal, even though there's a concept that we normally say Yad Isha Ki Yad Bala, Ishta Kegufay. That's in other areas of halacha, but to say that here, we wouldn't say that. The Mech Nefrayim is not that clear, and the Mech Nefrayim says that yes, we say Yad Isha Ki Yad Bala, and therefore, even though our Mishnah just taught us that unless the Mashal appointed a Shliach, it's not considered that it was returned to him until it's actually returned to him. If it was given to his wife, it's considered that it's returned to her. And the Rama in Chashim Mishpat, Simen Kuf Chof Sif Beis, says if this Mashal's wife is a baristas, she's an intelligent woman, and she's a woman, v'nosas b'nyanei habayis. She's involved in the business affairs of the home. Then, says the Rama, harei k'ilu nitein b'yad habalim, it's considered as if the mashal, her husband, got it back. The sma over there wants to differentiate, what am I returning? If I'm a regular shoyl, then it's considered that I returned it. For a regular shoymer. For a shoyl, again, very much consistent with the concepts that we're learning in our shir, a shoyl, because he has this higher level responsibility, what is also included by saying that the shoyl has the higher level responsibility is that he has to actually give it back to the mashal. Until he actually gives it back to the mashal, it's not considered returned, even if he gave it to the wife of the mashal.